Okay, please take a seat. Okay, by the way, my name's Ben. I'm a regular here, kind of a regular, a few times a year. Regular, but not frequent. It was hard to condense down today's passage. It's Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7, but that video did it really well, so that's why we used that. But I would urge you to go away and read the whole of chapter 6 and chapter 7 of Judges in preparation for your small groups. And I have some questions. Do pay attention. There will be a quiz on my sermon later in the service. I'm not joking. So I've got five headings. God uses tough times to get our attention. During the time of the book of Judges, there was no overall leader of the Israelites. God would occasionally rise up men and women, called the judges, to lead segments of the Israelites against their enemies. The fact that they had to fight these enemies was frequently due to their own disobedience, their own disbelief. By the way, the young kids are going off to the creche downstairs. So if you're visiting and you've got a young child, sort of five and under, go to the back and someone will show you where to go. Great. Nevertheless, God was gracious and would provide them with the necessary leadership to get them back on track. This book records seven cycles of sin that spanned about 300 years. The cycles begin with disobedience, which results in suffering and then misery. And then God would raise up one of the judges to call the people back. This resulted in repentance, deliverance, rest, and revival. Now, it's during one of those cycles where we find the nation of Israel coming off a time of relative ease. The bills are paid, business is good, everything's coming up roses. And as it tends to happen to us in those times, Israel forgot God. They became self-sufficient. They thought they didn't need God. And so the Lord shook things up by rousing an enemy against them to show them how hard life can be without him. Verse 1 says that the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over to the Midian for 7 years. Now you need to know the Midianites were a nomadic tribe. They're very powerful and oppressed the Israelites mercilessly. Every year for 7 years, around harvest time, the Midianites would invade, and verse 5 tells us that they would come in like locusts, ravaging the land. What they couldn't carry with them, they destroyed. And it was so bad, many of the Israelites left their homes to live in caves and strongholds, fearing for their lives. Now, we often see like a video like that, and oh no, whoosh, all these funny animations, and actually we forget really what it's like. So if we can think of, say, the Yazidi people in Iraq, and ISIS coming in, and stealing the money from their businesses. Now, it doesn't say in the Bible that people were attacked, physically murdered, or the women attacked. But we can imagine that might have happened as well. And when we put it in that context, we realize, no, it's not a funny animation. It was horrendous. Finally, the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Now, how many times have hard circumstances come to us and we never stop to ask what God is planning for us in those circumstances? Instead, we hold out, trying to handle it on our own. We can learn this from Gideon. Every trial in the lives of God's people is to draw us closer to God. Number 2, God sees more than we do. God's plan included a most unlikely man named Gideon. We meet Gideon in verse 11, where he's threshing some wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Now, normally you'd thresh wheat outside. You'd throw it up in the air and the wind would carry away the chaff. But Gideon, out of fear, is hiding in an underground wine press. Again, imagine that scene that we see on the TV in Iraq, people hiding their businesses, hiding their money, hiding their food. He's trying to avoid the attention of the Midianites. It's a pitiful sight, full of frustration, discouragement, and fear. And in case if you've ever wondered if God has a sense of humor, read verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Can you imagine Gideon? Me? Was God being sarcastic? Or did he see more than Gideon saw? Maybe God saw what he was about to make of Gideon. One of the biggest lies we tell ourselves is that God only uses special people. If you are a born-again believer, you are, I think we heard some of these last week, God's child, his friend, his masterpiece. You have been justified, freed forever from condemnation from God. You are adopted into his family. Your citizenship is in heaven. You belong to God, never to be separated from his love. God knows who you are, even if you don't. Number three, private faithfulness first, public usefulness second. Before Gideon can be used publicly, he must first sort out some issues in his private life. His family was breaking the first and second commandments with idols to Baal. So the first task from God was to tear down these family's idols. Then Gideon was to sacrifice his dad's special 7-year-old bull. Again, putting this into some modern context, a bull can be worth a lot of money. I looked it up, the UK auction record for a bull is £126,000. They're valuable things. The point is here is if you want to learn how to trust God, you must first set your own house in order. Before God can use us mightily, he must be magnified in our own lives, in our own homes. Private worship prepares us for public acts from God. There are no shortcuts. So is there any sin that you're clinging to? We must knock down our idols, confess our sin, deal with it, and return to full obedience to God. Will it stir up things? Of course. The community wanted to kill Gideon at first. But God will honor those who honor him. Number four. God is patient with our doubt. If this were a movie, when we get to verse 33, ominous music would be playing. Dun, 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 dun. It says the Midianites were getting ready to make their annual raid. But instead of cringing in a cave, verse 34 says, the Spirit of the Lord enveloped Gideon, and he blew the ram's horn, and the, I looked this up on the internet how to pronounce it, Abiezrites rallied behind him. Gideon had taken a huge step of faith in his private faithfulness, and now God's Spirit was drawing people from far and wide. 32,000 men showed up to fight. But get this, even after his encounter with God, even though he had been obedient to clean up at home, and even though the Holy Spirit was empowering him, Gideon still struggled with doubts. He knows that God has promised to save Israel through him, but he's looking in the mirror and the reflection he sees doesn't encourage him. So Gideon asks for a very specific thing to happen as confirmation. He asks God to do that whole wet fleece, dry ground thing. And God obliges. Then thinking it could be a fluke or the time of year, he asks for it to be the opposite, dry fleece, wet ground. Again, God does it. Now, let's be clear. The Bible says we are not to test God. But asking for confirmation of his will is okay. I've heard of a couple that thought they were being called overseas, and they asked for a specific sign, and they received it 3 times. In fact, I can't remember if I specifically asked for it, but God knew I needed it. And the morning after I submitted my job application to go to Egypt, I got in the car, switched it on, and the song on the radio was "Walk Like an Egyptian." On the way to the job interview in London, I went on the underground, and I was on one of those long escalators, and they had posters. In fact, they weren't posters, they were digital screens cycling through 3 or 4 adverts. All the way up there, I just fiddled with something down here, I turned around, I don't know what the advert was for, but the biggest word on the poster was Egypt. It was Egypt, 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 all the way up this escalator. Anyway, back to Gideon. God graciously confirmed his power to Gideon. Our Lord was developing this man into a fully convinced servant, matching each doubt with kind reassurance. God will show you the same patience as well as you seek his face, allaying your fears to grow you into a man or woman of God. Number 5. Success is determined by God's power, not ours. Gideon's now ready to rumble, but God has other plans. In Judges 7, verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, "You've got too many people for me to hand the Midianites over to you, or else Ishmael might brag, 'I did it myself.'" And as we heard on the video, God whittled 22,000 men down to 300. God created an impossible situation to exalt his own strength. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Here's a good lesson for us. Accomplishing God's purposes in Chard, or wherever we are, is not determined by the bottom line of the church spreadsheet, or the size of the congregation, or the efficiency of our plans. We need to attend to those things, sure. But God is looking to glorify himself on earth through people who are fully dependent on him, who believe he is with them and are ready to charge the hill in the name of the Lord. It happened in Israel in one of the strangest battle strategies in history. The 300 went out with trumpets, torches, and jars to meet the Midianites. And if you want to know a little bit of what that sounds like, I believe when the creche kids come back, we might get a hint of it. God sent confusion into the enemy, so they began attacking each other. When it was over, 120,000 Midianites had killed one another, and the others had fled. God had answered Israel's prayers, and he used an ordinary man with trepidation and doubt to do it. Now, let's just check how much you took in. On the end of your row, or maybe on your seat, you may have received one of these little cards. If you particularly want one, you can have one.